You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to episode 219 of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight we're going to talk Batman 105, Nightwing number 77, Catwoman number 28, Superman number 28, The Green Lantern season 2 number 10, Rorschach number 3, Dark Knight's Death Metal number 6, Aquaman number 66, Justice League number 58, and Teen Titans Endless Winter Special number 1. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. Alright, Cletus, first up for DC News. Damian Wayne will feature in a solo backup stories in March issues of Batman and Detective Comics.
I'm curious what they're doing with Damian Wayne. It feels like that's going to be an extension of what we've been seeing in Detective Comics already, where he's kind of I wouldn't say a rogue agent at this point right now, but like kind of off doing his own thing as like a identity-less superhero. Like, he's just kind of Damian. It reminds me a little bit, Drew, of at one point during the New 52, Dick Grayson was a special agent because he was supposed to be dead. And so to convince, at that point, the world knew that Dick Grayson had been Nightwing. And so he was alive. And so he was a special agent instead. And it feels a little bit like that. Now, I'm not saying I'm expecting Damian to work with an agency, but it feels a little bit like that, where he's not Robin, he's just Damian. I mean, he's doing what we'd expect the Robin version of Damian to do, but he's just his own dude.
Yeah, I'm curious what DC's gonna do about him, because I want him to come back as Robin, but I don't think DC wants him to come back as Robin. Maybe that's their long plan, maybe it's not. I don't know what their plan is for him, or if they're planning on trying to give him a new identity.
I feel like long term he will ultimately be Robin again, because I mean, we've talked about this before. I just think he's the most logical guy to be Robin, and you can give him his own identity. The problem is if you give him a different identity, eventually he gets phased out to a certain degree, in my opinion. So I really, like, to me, Nightwing's one of the only guys that has stopped being Robin that has managed to really stick around, you know, consistently. Because other guys, when they stop being Robin, I mean, some of them have come back. Like Jason Todd, I feel like, has pretty firmly established himself now as Red Hood. But obviously for a long time he was dead. But even then, I think if you make Damian anything other than Robin, you force him more to the sideline than I think DC wants. I don't think DC wants him on the sideline.
I don't know. The other thought I had is, are they trying to get Tim Drake to go back into that Robin role? That's a possibility too. I don't know what DC's planning on doing, because Tim Drake kind of phased out for a while, and then they recently brought him back, but he hasn't been a major character. He's just been here and there. So I'm just curious what DC's plans are. So I'm sure we're not going to find out until March. All right, moving on to other DC news. Legion of Superheroes, Red Hood, and Aquaman, all ongoing series prior to Future State, do not have issues scheduled in DC's just released March solicitations, despite having issues scheduled for December, which were not announced as series finales.
Aquaman feel like they just I feel like Aquaman worked out pretty well in that it the run that they had with the comic just ended. So it ended like right on schedule. I wouldn't be shocked if that one doesn't come back right away. Aquaman's a big as a major character, don't get me wrong, but I feel like he's right on that borderline where his you don't his book is not a guaranteed seller. Like if it's a good book, I think Aquaman does well, but if it's not, he's not enough of a draw to continue selling well. So that one wouldn't shock me, and the other ones definitely wouldn't shock me if they don't come back right away.
Now, I'm wondering, like Aquaman, it's possible he might be featured as a backup in some of these, the newer format DC's planning on doing with some of their titles. So we could see Aquaman in backup stories in those.
Yeah, well, and also Justice League. So I think it makes sense. Like I said, I think Aquaman is a character that certainly can carry an ongoing, but it really it's gotta be a good book. I just don't think he's not it's not like Batman where you can have I mean, typically Batman doesn't have that bad of runs, but you know what I mean? Like Batman can get away with it, right?
Yeah.
Aquaman can't. So I don't know. I think it with the approach that DC appears to be taking, I'm not shocked that some of these titles aren't going to continue on, at least initially.
All right, and for our last bit of DC news this week, Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond will release on HBO Max in January. So, if you're wanting to watch Christmas with the Joker, you're going to have to wait till next year. Because DC Universe is no more. I was on Roku earlier today, and there's a big old block there that says DC Universe is no longer available. So, it's gone.
Yeah, I anticipate we'll see most of that stuff get rolled over to HBO Max before long.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of it already has been, but whatever's left. Ultimately, I think DC's doing the right thing. I'm excited that, that's going to get moved over. It's going to give the DC material, frankly, a wider audience to reach. The DC Universe app, you and I both really liked it, but it is. The truth of it is, it's a very niche streaming service, whereas HBO Max has a much wider appeal. And who knows whether it's going to succeed in its own on the long term, given how much they botched its first year. But I think still has a better prospect of long term success.
It helps the releasing Wonder Woman and all the movies next year on there, so I'm sure they're going to get a
Yeah,
lot of
well.
subscriptions just for that.
That's the hope. That's the hope. We talked about that last podcast. Like that's I it's I'm not shocked that Warner Brothers ultimately went that direction because I think HBO Max needs to succeed for them. And given how, in my opinion, poorly they've launched that, which is just inexplicable that they did as bad of a job as they did. Like they released it in a time where everybody was stuck at home. How do you mess that up?
By not
How do
putting
you
it
mess that
on.
up? People needed stuff to watch and do and entertain themselves, and they still couldn't, like, oh, it's baffling to me.
Yeah, it is. All right, well, that wraps up DC News for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
Great things are coming on the Nerd Bliss podcast. We're changing up our presentation while keeping the candidness that you enjoy. We'll cover all your favorite shows and movies, with maybe a few surprises along the way. And you, yes, you, will have opportunities to be on our show on a regular basis. That's right, you've got the Zoom Pro account, and we're going to use it. So be ready. Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com and esonetwork.com, and on all the socials at NerdBlissPod. NerdBliss. Listen up.
Before I get into this week's comic books talk, we gotta let you know there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers.
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 We got spoilers.
Spoilers
for you. We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers
for you. For you.
All right, let's let's talk Batman 105. So the issue opens up in Argentina years ago. Bruce Wayne is done with his training and ready to return to Gotham City. Ghostmaker doesn't think Bruce is ready, and Ghostmaker wants Bruce to join him in fighting crime his way. But Bruce states he's not interested in not caring about people. He doesn't want to give up the mission he started when he was 8 years old, and Bruce tells Ghostmaker that a part of you is broken and you're angry that's not broken in me. We see Bruce makes a deal with the Ghostmaker to stay out of Gotham, and Bruce will stay out of any city the Ghostmaker has set up camp. Now, back in the present day at Arkham Asylum, to kill or not kill Harley Quinn, that is the question the clown hunter Bayo faces as both Batman and Harley Quinn try to convince Bayo not to kill. Eventually, Clown Hunter makes his choice to kill Harley, and Batman tosses Harley a batarang at the last second. Harley frees herself before Bayo can kill her. Then Harley gives the kid a talk and lets him make the final decision to kill her or not. And then we see Bayo plunges the knife into the table and walks away. Now, Batman and Ghostmaker have a sword fight. Batman tells Ghostmaker, "Do you know how many times I could have killed Harley Quinn over the years?" But then nobody learns. Nobody changes. Nothing is better in the end. Ghostmaker's argument is not everyone can be saved, but Batman states that most people can change, but you usually can't tell when you're face to face on the worst day in their life. And Batman states he's not done saving this city, and he doesn't think he will ever be. Caring about people has not killed him yet. Now, Batman states he's done fighting Ghostmaker, and we see him drop his sword. And Ghostmaker states, "Fine, we don't have to fight." Ghostmaker states he's going to leave Gotham and go back to their old arrangement. But instead, Batman invites him to stay and help make Gotham better. But he only has one rule: you don't kill in my city. And the issue ends with them friends.
I'm not surprised necessarily by that this is how the story would wrap up, in that like they sort of kiss and make up, but it was so fast.
It was fast.
It didn't feel earned to me at all. And I know sometimes I argue for more self-contained stories, and this is closer to that than some of the really extended stories that we see. But I also like, you know, if you've got a longer story to tell, take your time and tell it right. That's fine too. I both types of comics are good. This is just, I don't know, this is the like unhappy compromise between the two. I'm sure it's wrapping up because, you know, Future State's coming up, but it just it was not a satisfying conclusion to the story to me personally.
It was a quick wrap up. So I have to agree with you on that. It was a quick wrap up for this story that should have lasted a little longer. And you're probably right. It's probably because of Future State.
I'm going out on a limb here, Drew. My guess at who the Future State Batman is Clown Hunter. I think that's who it is.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. You might be right on that, because it's focused. Clown Hunter was present a lot during the Joker War and in these last few issues.
Well, and they've gone out of their way to draw parallels between him and Bruce. And I know that was also part of this specific story, kind of showing them, like, Bruce seeing the human behind the crimes. But I don't know. As I was reading it, I was like, you're going to be Clown. I think you're going to be the Batman. Because I'm sure they probably want us to think of somebody like Damian or maybe even Ghostmaker. But I don't know. That's my guess, and I will, you know, happily admit when I'm wrong, but that's my guess, Drew.
All right, we'll have to see if you're right or not. We find out at the end of the issue that the Clown Hunter story is going to continue in the Batman annual, which is coming up in a few weeks, and Batman and Ghostmaker are going to return in March 2021. So they've introduced that character for a reason, so I guess we'll see how their partnership is going to play out. I'm wondering if they're going to be partners for a while and then it goes sour. That's a possibility too.
I wonder if it's going to go sour or they just
Ghostmaker
the character out at some point.
Yeah, Ghostmaker becomes a ghost.
Yeah. I don't know. I could see it going either way. I mean, it's one of those characters, I don't know how long you can have him around because, I mean, he's effectively Batman, right?
Yeah.
And having two, I don't know, you can't really, I don't know. I just don't think you can have two Batmans and tell as interesting of stories over a long term.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to our next issue for this week, Nightwing number 77. The issue opens up when Nightwing and Batman swinging through the city. Bruce wants to know if Dick is coming for Christmas, but Dick hasn't made up his mind yet. It's a busy night, and the duo have two things to take care of. Batman takes on the Arkham Revolt, and Nightwing goes to Dexaturn Technology. And at Dexaturn Technology, Nightwing discovers that the company's computer system has been hacked by ransomware. They are asking for $2.76 million to release the system. Suddenly, IT discovers the hackers on the first floor. We see Nightwing takes action, and he's fooled at first, thinking that the Knapstrack gang has something to do with it. But then Nightwing figures out it was a Santa in front of the building. Nightwing tracks down the Santa to discover a homeless woman and her child. Nightwing hears out the woman's story of how she built the computer system for Dexaturn Technology, how her and many others were let go. Dick and Bruce offer housing and food for the women and her other friends, and we get a really touching story that felt really in line with the holiday spirit. Personally, I really like this one. Self-contained story, and it had a good holiday message about it, and I was totally not expecting it whatsoever. So it was kind of a nice surprise, I thought.
It makes sense. If we're being completely honest, they had an extra issue that they needed to fill. The Nightwing story ended, and there was still a month left before all of this future state stuff gets started, and they're like, oh, let's do a Christmas story. I agree with you. I mean, it was nice. It wasn't anything particularly special. I thought the crime was ultimately unresolved. Like, obviously we know who did it, but it felt like, how did Dick actually resolve the crime? I don't know. It didn't really matter ultimately. And then I also, again, these are minor nitpicks. The story was totally fine. But I thought the story was, it was odd that it acknowledged that Bruce was not as rich as he used to be, but he was still rich enough to give an entire housing complex to this group of homeless people and buy out this company that we are told in the story is buying out other companies. So that is a very large, expensive company. He's like, yeah, we bought it.
I think with Bruce Wayne's fortune, I think it's going to be at DC's discretion in how rich he is.
I mean, I guess technically if his company bought it, maybe technically that was Lucius Fox buying it, but still. I mean, effectively there was no difference there in Bruce's level of wealth. I just thought it was funny. Again, it had nothing to do with the quality of the story, but I just cracked up because they're like, yeah, I don't have the same resources I used to have, but I just bought an entire tech company.
I know. I thought that was funny myself. Like I said, I think that's what we're going to see from DC is Bruce Wayne's being rich when it's convenient and then being poor when they need him to be. Or not poor, but you know what I mean. Limited resources.
Well, I think the one thing that was fairly clever on their part is they never specified exactly how much poorer in a sense he is. He's just not the like obscenely Jeff Bezos, if not more, level wealthy. He's just less wealthy. And they've been very nebulous on how much that is, which honestly I think is smart because it lets them do stuff like this where you're like, I mean, you shouldn't be able to do that if you're poor, but I guess if you're still rich, I don't know.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Catwoman number 28. So the issue opens up with the Kadam mob coming to Alleytown, and they've been hired by Nahegan to kill Catwoman and burn down her nest in retaliation for her stealing his drugs last issue. Now, the Kadam mob is in for a surprise as they try to attack the nest because the Alleytown strays have set up the nest like it's home alone. I found that pretty funny. One of the Alleytown strays is in police custody. They let him go, but they have a tracker put in his jacket. And Nahegan's dirty cops follow him back to Ms. Rollins' club. Now, Catwoman goes to the docks where she stops Ms. Rollins or Pitt, if you will, from making a deal with new buyers. Catwoman tells Pitt, "You can either work for me or I'll hang you out to dry." When Catwoman leaves Pitt, she comes across the crazy priest assassin. And he tells Catwoman that he is coming for her, but not until her heart is brimming and content. When she is the happiest, that's when he'll strike. Now, Detective Hadley learns that Nahigian has made a deal with the feds and they can't touch him. But they do learn that the drugs are laced with a new cutting agent. One the audience learns is Poison Ivy. And I'm wondering, is Poison Ivy the victim or is she behind this new drug?
To me, that seemed to be pretty clear victim, but I guess it's possible they didn't.
I know they didn't specify. I mean, it looked like she was the victim, but I was like, well, maybe it's possible she's behind it. So, you know, that could be the twist they do, but we'll see what happens.
Small chance, yes. I thought this was pretty good. I enjoyed this issue. I was most intrigued, as I have been for the last few issues, by the priest assassin. I found that interaction very interesting, and they could have just had their fight right there, which would have, I was glad that they didn't, because that would have felt way too soon.
Yeah,
and like they were basically told, like, you need to wrap this up, and this guy that has clearly been a slow burn all of a sudden just fights and gets it over with. So I liked that it stayed a slow burn, and I'm excited to see more of him, and I like how little they're using him. Like, he just kind of pops up a little bit to remind you, like, yeah, this dude's out here.
I thought it was kind of crazy of him to reveal himself to Catwoman like that, but obviously he wanted to let her know he was there. And maybe she had suspicions about it because the one assassin got killed. So maybe that was one reason why he kind of put himself out there. But he let her know he's playing the long game. I'm still curious what Detective Hadley is still doing in this story. Now it seems like he's part of the Gotham. He's, you know, hanging around as part of the Gotham PD or something.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what his long-term role in the story is. Clearly, I think they're setting him up to be, I don't know if antagonistic is the right word, but like, a little bit, it feels a little bit like they're trying to set it up a little bit like the movie Heat, where he's the cop on the tail of the main character is the criminal. But I don't know.
Yeah, I just hope it's not going to turn romantic.
I think it's possible, Drew. I don't get that vibe. I could be wrong. I don't get the vibe that that's the route they're going with. It feels to me like they're setting it up that, like, he's the thorn in the side of Catwoman from the legal side of things, because she's a criminal.
Yeah.
And so you've got this guy, like, she can outsmart the usual Gotham bozos, but they've got this other guy in here that might be good enough to actually catch her, so to speak. I feel like that's what they're setting up. It's possible it could go romantic, but that's, as of now, that's not the vibe of Gotham.
That's good. I don't want to see that, but they may go that route. I'm really hoping they get her and Bruce back together, but right now it doesn't feel like that's the direction they want to go anymore.
But we still have the Batman Catwoman one, which they did get together, so.
Yes. All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Superman number 28. We learned that Simnar Utopica has brought Superman back to his planet to inspire his people. We also learned that Simnar Utopica has taken over his planet. Superman battles Simnar on behalf of its people until the United Planet Brigade shows up and takes Simnar Utopica for his crimes. Supergirl and Krypto show up, and she asks Superman if people know you're an idiot, because she can tell them. Now, meanwhile, back on Earth, Lana Lang has a podcast where she reads an excerpt from Lois Lane's book about Superman and what he needs. Superman needs love and needs to be needed. At the end of the issue, Superman and Lois visit a woman named Rona Kowalski. Superman thanks her for her music, and as it has helped him find his way home. You were into this story more than I was. I'm curious to see what your opinion on the wrap-up is.
Ultimately, Drew, I'm disappointed in the final product of this story. what's frustrating to me is I liked, in this issue in particular, I liked each individual part, at least the idea of it, maybe not necessarily the execution. I liked the idea of pitting Superman against essentially a failed Superman. So we see this society see Superman and go, we should have something like that. We should strive to have our own Superman. And in theory, at least, when we saw them do that, they also understood the other part. Like, it's not just an invincible warrior. It's this ideal to live up to. And they fail. Right? So that's an interesting story. I would have liked to have gotten... What I would have liked, though, is for us to have gotten more of that story more directly. This was really confusing. I thought that maybe I had forgotten an issue in between. Because we never really saw the failed Superman turn on it. We're told that he turned on his plan, but we never actually saw that.
Yeah, it was... When I read that part of the story, I found that confusing, too. And, I mean, I figured it out, but... It was not... The storytelling wasn't as clear as it should have been.
No, and so that was frustrating to me because I think that's a really interesting story to tell. And instead, what Bendis seemed more interested in telling, which is fine, is the Lana Lang part of the story, which was sort of this thesis on, you know, what Superman needs. And that gets into why Superman is able to maintain his humanity a little bit. I liked what the words that he was writing with that. I was just frustrated because they were distracting from each other. This fight with him and the fake Superman, I know that maybe he was trying to draw parallels on like what the fake Superman didn't get that would have let him become like the real Superman. I don't know. But instead you're getting this juxtaposition that I thought didn't work well. I thought they really distracted from each other and ultimately led to a much worse version of the story than we could have gotten if we had just focused on one or the other. I also thought the Your Music Helps Me Find Home was a little on the nose, personally. Like, I get it, but also it's like, come on.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We could have just left that out of the story.
I mean, it's fine. What it felt like to me, and I could be, this is just what it felt like. It felt to me like Bendis was trying to get his All-Star Superman moment there. That's kind of what it felt like to me. You know the scene I'm talking about, All-Star, like one of the most iconic modern superhero moments is when he saves the girl in All-Star Superman from killing herself on the skyscraper. It's a great moment. And it felt to me, I know it's not the same kind of moment, obviously much different, but it felt to me a little bit like Ben is trying to get that moment there. Like, this is an iconic Superman showing his humanity moment. And it was not subtle in the slightest. It was just too much in your face.
I can see where you're coming from on that. When I read through that, I just thought that Bendis was trying to point out that everybody's important, even the person who may be homeless and just out there playing their music kind of thing. I just thought he was trying to make a statement that everybody's important.
Oh, and I agree with you there, Drew. Again, it was so on the nose. And then I don't know. It was fine. Like, don't get me wrong. It's a fine scene. But it was just, I was like, okay, I get it, Bendis. But all in all, I mean, it was nice. I thought, like I said, I enjoyed the Lana Lang narration over it. I thought it was good. I thought Bendis was writing some really interesting stuff on Superman. I liked the ideas there. And I like the idea of this alien world trying to make their own Superman. And again, the idea of them making it not to be this warrior to go conquer, that was not their goal. But that's sort of what he turns into. And I think that story is so interesting, and it's such a shame that Bendis had the idea. Like, he deserves credit. He came up with that idea, or at least, you know, tried to write it and then just didn't stick with it. He just couldn't. He was too distracted, too, like, trying this whole time. I thought it was emblematic, honestly, of his entire Superman run, where he's too busy trying to tell like 20 different stories that he never ultimately tells even one fully.
Yeah, that's very true. We saw that throughout his run. All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, The Green Lantern Season 2, Number 10. The issue opens up with Hyperman's wife and she is pissed. She wants Green Lantern destroyed. I think she is behind the Golden Destroyer, who wants to destroy all Green Lanterns and Sapphires from across the multiverse. Now, the different Hal Jordans and Carol Ferris's fight among themselves, jealous that they are checking each other out. The Golden Destroyer is defeated, and we return to the trial of Hyperman. New evidence from his robo-butler puts him away. Now, Hyperman's son declares he doesn't want to be in a loveless marriage and calls off the wedding and states he wants to be a princess. Hal talks about running away with Carol, enjoying a life away from Earth, and she says she'll think about it. That's what I got out of this issue.
Drew, I'm not going to lie. I thought I was following the story up until they beat the Golden Destroyer. I was like, okay. Typically hard to follow, but I get it. And then it kept going for like another like 5 or 8 pages. I was like, wait, is this the finale? Is this longer? The story felt done to me, Drew.
I know.
Not like the overall season 2 story, but like that issue felt over. And then it kept going for a solid 5 or 6 more pages. So I was like, whoa, what's going on?
I got to tell you, I felt the same way when I was reading. I thought we were done. You know, I thought the story was done, and then it kept on going with these other stuff. I'm like, oh, you're wrapping that up. Oh, you're wrapping that up too. Now, it does say at the end of the issue, the epic conclusion begins in Contest of Crowns. So it sounds like we're getting towards the end of his run.
Well, I assume we've got 2 more. My guess is it's going to 12 like the last one did.
Probably.
So I would assume that we have 2 more issues of this. I mean, this issue, again, it was fine. There were some things I really liked. I liked what was clearly meant to be Thanos holding different colored Green Lantern rings like the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes.
and then Richard Nixon below him. That was super weird. That I thought was by far my favorite panel, because I was just like, what's going on? But yeah, that I felt like I understood the story, and then when it kept going for longer and essentially told the second story, I did not follow the second story. It lost me at that point. I didn't totally understand what happened. They kept saying this Ultra War, but I don't think it actually happened, and I don't know. I'm always entertained by these issues, but I'd be lying if I like. I don't think they're gonna really stick with me in the long run, because there's sort of like you read and you're like, huh, and then you move on and read the next comic.
Yeah, that's very true. These stories don't stick with me. I can tell you that. I couldn't tell you what 2 issues ago was about. All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week. Rorschach number 3. And we saw it play out in the Watchmen television show, and we're also seeing it play out here. Fear that the squids are coming. The issue opens up with an article from the New York Times, July 1st, 1903. We learn that a mine explosion killed 234 workers in Hanna, Wyoming. The federal government put in a cemetery for those workers, and when Laura Cummings' dad lost his job working on the train, he found work at the cemetery. Now, Laura is very young when her father teaches her how to handle a gun. We see that Laura's father has her constantly training, even training with his militia, and she's a better shooter than them. And the reason behind all the training is fear the alien squid is coming to get them. We learn that Laura's mother was killed by her father when he realized the alien squid took over her mind. When the alien squid took over his mind, Laura's father asked her to kill him and make it look like a suicide. In the present, the detective has come to Hanna, Wyoming, and has learned about Laura's life from a journal that she kept hidden at her aunt's house, where she went to live after her father was killed. And I know the story was much better than my summary. It was very interesting to learn about Laura's life.
It was. Well, and I really like, much like how I like the TV show, what the TV show did, I like how this comic shows the impact that an attack like that would have on people. Right? We see it, obviously, with Looking Glass, mainly, in the TV show. Obviously, other people as well. But then here, we see a guy who gets so deeply impacted by this that it's not even a conspiracy nut. I mean, the dude just loses it. He murders his wife, somehow believing that she's been taken over by squid aliens. And then he convinces himself that he's been taken over by squid aliens. And yet somehow still has the wherewithal to ask his daughter to kill him. Like, they've taken control, but not enough control.
I know. It was crazy. And seeing Laura grow up in that environment and seeing what she becomes, it makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, this was... And then getting the detective just sitting there in Hannah reading this, it's just such a good... It's such a good comic, Drew. It's just... I love the way that it's living in this Watchmen world, but it's not, in my opinion, as of now, it's not trying to change anything. It's not trying to alter some part of Alan Moore's story. It's just going like, okay, Watchmen happened. What would that be like in a small town like Hannah, Wyoming, which is a real town, by the way? What would that be like? How would people there, out in the middle of nowhere, how would they react? It's just very interesting.
Yeah, it was. And I'm curious to see where the story is going to go from this. This is so different from other Tom King stories we've read, and it's really interesting.
Yeah. I can't wait to see where this story goes, because you know it's been hinting strongly at corruption, and I'm fascinated to see what, you know, what the big conspiracy ultimately is that we uncover.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. All right, well, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do more comics talk.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and right here on the ESO Network.
And we're back. Let's talk Dark Knight's Death Metal number 6. The issue opens up with Wonder Woman and Lobo traveling through the passage to the Forge of Worlds. Lobo gets attacked and Wonder Woman loses the journal she needs to build the machine to connect everyone. The hero and villains are fighting the Dark Knights until suddenly they retreat and the heroes feel a shift in the earth. And we find out that the Dark Knight finally beats Perpetua. Wonder Woman realizes she doesn't need the journal to build the machine. She uses the lasso of truth and connects to everyone. And then the issue ends with a powered up Wonder Woman who's ready to take on the one who laughs. So we're finally getting to the end of this story. Because it feels like it's dragged on forever.
I have to say, Drew, and I really... This issue's totally fine. Unsurprisingly, Snyder tells a good story. But I think this is a very fair criticism against the comic. You have to have read all of these tie-ins. There is no way you could go from issue 5 to issue 6 and understand what's happened in the story. There's no way.
Exactly. I agree with you. You have to read all the tie-ins to this. And the way they've done Dark Knights compared to Endless Winter, the Endless Winter stories flow together. The Dark Knights ones don't.
No, not at all. That's the thing that's frustrating, is you have to read all of them because none of it makes sense without the context, but they're all totally their own thing. They're all kind of scattershot, living in a sense their own world, telling their own story, except that story matters. Like, you have to have read it. And so it's very frustrating, at least. And the nice thing also with the Endless Winter is that it's very clear which one you're supposed to read next. There's a very clear flow to the story. It's not like... I feel like there's meant to be somewhat of a reading order to Death Metal. I'd struggle to tell you what the exact order is, though. But it kind of matters, because there are certain things that will mention something that happens in, like, you'll be reading one tie-in title, and it'll reference another tie-in title. You're like, wait, I haven't even read that one yet.
Yeah, exactly. And the way they did it with Endless Winter, you know right on the cover it tells you what part it is. They should have done that with Dark Knight's Death Metal. And they chose to do it the way they did, and it just feels disconnected.
Well, the thing is that they're doing death metal is much more like your standard, typical event comic. But normally the event comic, the main plot is mostly like 90% self-contained within the main title. And that all the other tie-ins are like, you know, the
side stories is what they're usually supposed to be.
They're like fluffing the story. They're making it look, the presentation. They're making it look nicer. You know what I mean? But like the meat and potatoes, the meat and potatoes is the main title. Endless Winter isn't doing that. There isn't a main title. It's just going, it's just giving you the next part. So that there aren't tie-ins in a sense. It's just you're in a new book, but it's the next part of the story.
Right.
I think it's an interesting way to do an event. I will say, though, I don't want to get too much into Endless Winter. I hope DC doesn't make a habit of that either, because it's very intrusive. If stuff wasn't ending right now, you know how intrusive that would be to all these ongoing titles?
Oh, yeah, it'd be very intrusive because you'd be interrupting everyone's story arcs with the event. I see where you're coming from with that, because if stuff wasn't ending, you'd be interrupting every story. So, I see your point into that. But with Dark Knight's Death Metal, the side stories aren't side stories. If you want to understand the whole story, you have to read them. Not all of them.
But that's the problem. You don't know which ones you don't have to read.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Most of them you do need to read. And you're right. There are a handful that you don't. But you don't know. You don't know which ones are going to matter. And then all of a sudden you're reading the next main issue. And the Lobo tie-in is one of the most important tie-ins. Would you guess that?
Nope.
Sure as hell wouldn't have.
No. And that's one of the reasons why we've been reviewing every single one of them. So we, you know, we know what's going on in the story. I'm just glad the event's almost over, because at this point I'm just tired of it.
I know, and I feel bad because I don't think it's a bad story. I don't think it's a bad comic, but it's in my opinion, overstayed its welcome, first off. And then, like you said, because you have to read so many of these tie-ins, I don't even feel necessarily like the main book is even the most important comics most of the time. It feels like it's just sort of there as the glue holding all these other stories together, rather than being the actual main story itself. And that makes it more frustrating, because I'm reading it and I'm like, I don't even feel like this is the most important part of the story.
Yeah. And I'm wondering what this is going to look like when they put it all together. It's going to depend on how they put it together. Because
I'm assuming that they will release just like Death Metal 1 through 7, or however many of the issues there were. I'm hoping just 7. But I pity anybody who reads only that, because that story will not make sense.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they do that. But you're probably right. They'll probably just put the 1 through... what is it? You said 7, or is it 6?
Well, we just read issue 6, so I would assume 7. I'm hoping it's not more than 7.
No, I know there's another issue coming out, but I didn't think it was number 7. I thought it had a different title. I guess we'll see. I'll have to look.
Well, that would be even more confusing. So you have Death Metal 1 through 6, and then it ends with its own type number. I believe you, Drew. I'm sure they probably are doing that, but that's so dumb.
So I'm pretty sure that's how it is. I'm not even sure what I forget what the ending one is. It comes out the same. It's coming out the same week as the first Future State book. So it comes out, and then Future State starts same week. So, all right. Well, let's move on to our next title for this week. Aquaman number 66. The issue starts off in the 10th century Arctic Circle, Greenland. The Frost King is furious that his son has been murdered. He promises to take everything his tribe holds dear. He will unleash winter without end upon the world. The Viking King, Hippolyta, Black Adam, and Swamp Thing fight against the Frost King, and we see Swamp Thing falls in battle. Now, in the present, Aquaman, Mira, and Andy make their way to Atlantis. Volko has called them for help because ice monsters are attacking Atlantis. Aquaman heads into the Great Cataract the realm of the Fire Trolls to seek their help. We see that the Fire Trolls attack Aquaman, but Mira shows up and uses his powers to stop them. And because of Mira's show of strength, the Fire Trolls have pledged themselves to her, and the Fire Trolls help stop the attack on Atlantis. Then at the end of the issue, we see that the Frost King is wondering where they are.
I would say, Drew, that the Aquaman part of this story was the most useless one so far, but I do think it's ultimately going to matter. Like, it felt the most disconnected to the event, but I have a feeling that we're going to see that lava army again.
Yeah. Which
I couldn't help but roll my eyes. I was like, of course there's a lava army. I was just like, this is so dumb. I like the thing that I struggle with this event as a whole, Drew, because I'm interested in the old story. In other words, what happened in the past. I'm not that interested in the present story because it's going to turn into Iceman versus Lava Man, and that's just, come on, man. Come on.
It's a song of ice and fire.
It's Shark Boy and Lava Girl, man. Like,
you realize I'm older. I don't know much about Shark Girl or whatever. Lava Girl and Shark Boy.
I think I was a little too old when it came out, too. But still, it's just... You don't need to know anything about the title of that movie tells you literally everything you need to know about it.
I know my kids have watched it. I've never seen it myself. So
I'm not saying that the plots are the same. I don't know. I assume that the plots are not the same. I'm just saying that, like, the basic concept of, like, whoa, water and fire. Different? Come on, we can do a little bit more sophisticated storytelling than that.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Justice League number 58. The issue starts off in 10th century Arctic Circle, Greenland. You know, I say that almost every issue of this, because I do like the fact that they're starting off every issue with this going back to the 10th century, because like you... I'm also interested in that part of the story. Because the Frost King destroyed Swamp Thing, the rest of the heroes flee south to make their stand and protect as many people as they can. Black Adam stays behind to delay the Frost King, and when Black Adam returns to the fort, we learn that he has provided a distraction for the Frost King. He left the Frost King's family to face him. Hippolyta is furious. Hippolyta and the Viking King race back to save the innocents, and when they get there, they realize that Black Adam's plan is working. But then we see Black Adam zooms in and attacks the Frost King. Now, in the present, John Stewart comes across a family that is seeking shelter and trying to avoid ice monsters. The husband father is missing, so John tracks down the father and reunites the family. A very touching story, and kind of gives me the feels like the Nightwing story did. Now, John Stewart returns to the Hall of Justice to find Detective Chimp on monitor duty. Bobo's noticed the ice monsters seem to be interested in science labs because they're so intelligent. Suddenly, the Frost King and a horde of ice monsters show up at the Hall of Justice, and John sends out a distress signal, and Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Flash show up. While battling, they discover that the Frost King is an ice decoy. On the last page, we see that the Frost King is wondering where they are. And it finally dawned on me that he was talking about his family. It must be his family that's frozen in ice. Because we saw them fall into the ocean or something at the beginning of the issue in the flashback.
Yeah, I have to admit I was wrong on this one because I definitely thought that it was going to be the Viking King or warrior, whatever the dude is. I thought he was going to be in the ice, so I was definitely wrong there.
But I enjoyed this one a lot better than the Aquaman. The most interesting was the flashback sequence and the interactions we had with Black Adam and the decisions he made and the decisions between the Viking King and Hippolyta. So it's really interesting, and My guess is Black Adam's actions back in the 10th century is what causes things to get worse with the Frost King, which I'm sure we'll see in future issues.
Drew, I don't think it's a coincidence that both you and I are preferring the flashback story, because that's where the actual plot progression is happening. The actual, like, story being told is all happening in the past. Everything that we're seeing in the present is basically just like Ice Bad, except starring Flash, and then it's Ice Bad starring Green Lantern, and then Ice Bad starring the Teen Titans. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's not really any story. Like, the Green Lantern story saving the guy, that's nice. Okay. Are you going to remember that next week? I'm not. I'll remember the progression of the Ice King stuff in the past. I'm not going to, like, all of these other tie-in things in the future just feel like, honestly, twiddling their thumbs. This event was meant to do was to, like, oh, crap, we've got Future State coming, but we've got these extra issues to fill. How do we do that? Oh, let's make an event and have it run through all these extra issues that we need to fill. Honestly, great idea. There's nothing wrong with that. But it kind of shows in the second half of a lot of these comics that, like, they've got this interesting story. They can only got about half of it to spread across all of these issues.
Yeah, that's true. And pretty much everything else is filler.
I'm sure at some point we will see. We're starting to see a very tiny little bit of progression in the present story. And I'm sure that we will start to see more, and the story focus will shift to that at some point. But I don't think it's going to be that satisfying, honestly. It's essentially just going to ultimately be the Justice League all bands together and punches Ice King in the mouth. And you know what I mean? And, like, done. Great. Awesome.
I'm wondering if we're going to see a reunion between the old Justice League. I don't know if Viking King's still around, but we know Hippolyta's around. Black Adam's around. We have a newer version of Swamp Thing.
I could be wrong, Drew. Obviously, last time we did this, I thought that the Viking King was going to be in the ice, and that was wrong. This time, my next potentially wrong guess, I think Viking King died. Because we got that line where, like, Odin or whoever won't let him die until he dies a heroic death.
Oh, yeah, there was that line.
That felt like foreshadowing to me that he does die at some, like, my sense is he dies at the conclusion of the past story.
You're probably right, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I was wrong before, so I'm very ready to be wrong about that one again. But that's my newest guess on what happened with Viking King is that he did die.
Either way, I think Black Adam's going to play a major part in the ending of the story.
Definitely.
And become a reason of why he comes on the new Justice League team when it comes back in March. So, all right, let's move on to our last issue for this week. Teen Titans Endless Winter Special Number 1. The issue starts off in the 10th century Arctic Circle, Greenland. Black Adam has attacked Frost King right when his family was about to reach him. The family gets surrounded by ice monsters, and when Black Adam calls for Hippolyta as she's about to rescue him, she decides to join Adam in the fight with the Frost King, and we see the glacier cracks, opens up, and swallows the family. Oh, I guess I kind of revealed that last when we were talking about the last issue. Oops. In the present, the Teen Titans are helping people who have no other place to go at Titans Tower. They're helping with food, medical supplies, as well with other chores. Now, when reports of people being stranded on the Brooklyn Bridge with ice monsters all around them, the Titans spring into action. Now, while on the bridge, the Titans discover someone trapped in a ball of ice, and she seems to be a metahuman with ice powers. Donna remembers a story that Queen Hippolyta once told her about the King of Winter and his horde. The king threatens the world with endless winter, and a band of heroes must battle him. Donna states it's a sad story because the King of Winter loses his family. And then at the end of the issue, we see that Cyborg, Flash, and Donna Troy go to Themyscira to talk to Queen Hippolyta.
Again, I mean, we basically already said everything I need to say about the story. Very interested in what's going on in the past. I'm sure it will, again, I'm sure the story will start to shift its focus to the present, but I'm not personally anticipating a particularly riveting present to the story. It's going to, either they're going to get reunited, I'm assuming he's going to get reunited with the family, and either they all hug it out at the end, or the guy is too far gone and the Justice League all punches him in the mouth. But I don't see the story ending any other way besides one of those two.
I agree with you. And even reading my review here, it reminded me that they're bringing Queen Hippolyta into the story and Black Adam. I see that reunion coming sometime here, next few issues. And I wonder if they're going to bring in the modern day Swamp Thing, or like you said, we probably won't see the Viking King. I think you pointed it out when we were talking last issue that you thought he made a sacrifice, and I bet that's the case. Well, now I'm thinking about it. We know that Black Adam and Queen Hippolyta are supposed to be on the new Justice League. So I'm guessing they're going to do something really important at this end of the story that's going to get them on the Justice League.
It could be a redemptive thing.
Yeah, like, it could be.
We caused this. We screwed it up the first time we caused this, so now we need to like pay off our sins, in a sense, by serving the world. I could see. That's kind of where I see it going. At least for Hippolyta. I don't know. Black Adam might just be, from his perspective, doing it because he feels he needs to supervise them.
That I could see that from him.
Right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Out of interest for my country, I want to have a role on this so that my country's interests are being accounted for. I feel like that's how he will look at it. But I think mostly, especially for Hippolyta, it's going to be a sense like paying for their sins. Sort of thing with good deeds.
Yeah. And we kind of saw that last, how she felt last issue, that she felt regret for not saving the family and running away from the family to go help Black Adam. Yeah, I'm sure we'll see that play out. All right. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Do you have a shout out, Cletus?
Yeah, I wanted to shout out about my home state getting a starring role in Rorschach this week. Hanna, Wyoming is a real town. Drew, how many people do you think live in Hanna, Wyoming?
10,000.
Oh, my guy. Have you ever been to Wyoming?
No.
Oh, you fool.
I may have been through Wyoming when I was a kid. I can't remember.
841. Is that honestly, that's relatively large for an average Wyoming town.
Jeez.
There are a handful of, I'm putting quotes around this, cities. My hometown, Casper, it relatively for Wyoming, is a city. It's got about 50,000 people. That's the second largest city in the state, just to give people an idea of the just general lack of human beings in Wyoming.
Jeez.
But yeah, Hanna, Wyoming, real town. It's on the south. It's kind of, it's north of Cheyenne, but to the west of Laramie, for the like maybe one person who listens to our podcast that knows the geography of Wyoming.
All right, and for my shout out, I'm going to shout out about Wonder Woman 84, because we're only 2 days away. And of course, by the time you guys listen to this episode, it'll be 3 days after. And Cletus and I have already recorded our Wonder Woman episode, but still, I'm excited about it.
Very excited. My girlfriend's incredibly excited about it, too. I've been teasing her that I'm going to wake up early, not to open presents, but to watch Wonder Woman.
I was thinking about that earlier today. I was like, I wonder what time they're going to post that on there. Is it going to come on there right at midnight? Are they going to post it later in the morning? I know it's got to...
Midnight. My guess is midnight, but I could be wrong.
I wonder how many people will stay up just to watch it. I bet if it comes on that late, there'll probably be quite a few people to stay up to watch it, especially the news outlets. They're going to be friggin' posting about that thing. I better stay off of, now that I'm thinking about it, I better stay off social media until after I watch it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm so excited, man. I'm so excited to watch the movie.
I am too. And I don't know about you. We just rewatched the first Wonder Woman over the weekend to prepare ourselves to see the movie.
I think we'll be watching it tomorrow, I'm pretty sure. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm very much looking forward to watching that. It's going to be a great way to... I think it's great. I think it's great that I know that there's a lot of directors that are kind of getting up in arms about what Warner Brothers is doing with HBO Max, but I think it's really nice that I think a probably significant amount of people are going to be able to spend their Christmas watching the movie. I think that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I think so too. HBO Max is going to get a lot of viewership on Christmas.
Yeah.
So, all right. If you'd like to comment on anything we've talked about tonight, you can reach us at our feedback line, 317-564-9133. Leave us a message, or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. Coming up next episode, we'll be talking Wonder Woman. And we'll have a few guests joining us. So, looking very forward to talking about Wonder Woman. All right, well, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone? But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.